This is tape number 14 of Power Through Action Conference, out One Road to Empowerment with Thompson, Kurtz, Berman, and Johnson.
I'm Dixie Johnson. I'm on the staff of National Now, the foundation, and I'm certainly happy to see all of you. I will be moderating this panel, and this is Out, One Road to Empowerment. I can remember as a child there was a nursery story. It ended somehow, come out wherever you are. I'm sure they never meant us. But we are delighted with our panel here today. Each person is going to talk about 20 minutes, and then we're going to open it up to a discussion from the audience. And this is Karen Thompson, who I think some of you have probably already heard. Ruth Berman, another one of our people. And last but not least, Connie Kurtz. Thank you. Now, we didn't toss a coin, but I think we just kind of are forcing Ruth to go first. So, Ruth, here you go.
Well, it's because I put it out that way in my visualization of preparing. Hi. This is how I'm starting. I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation. It's my world that I want to have a little pride in. My world, and it's not a place I have to hide in. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am. I am what I am. I don't want praise, I don't want pity. I bang my own drum. Some think it's noise, I think it's pretty. And so what if I love each t-shirt and each bangle? Why not try to see things from a different angle? Your life is a sham till you can shout out, I am what I am. I am what I am, and what I am needs no excuses. I deal my own deck, sometimes the ace, sometimes the deuces. There's one life and there's no return and no deposit. One life, so it's time to open up your closet. Life's not worth a damn till you can say, hey world, I am what I am. Next time I'm going to do a dance. But I will tell you, I want to tell you all that I'm a lesbian. And more than proud, I'm passionate about it. And I'd also like you to know that 50 years ago, because I am 54, was when I knew, and I also knew, that I would never, ever tell anyone. I would never, ever act upon it. Some of you have seen Connie and I on the Donahue Show, so I guess you know I told people, and I acted upon it. But I want you to know that I'm coming from a place of getting rid of the shame so totally that today I had some quiet time to myself and I went along the bay with this t-shirt on that says Les Biens en Parfum, which we designed. And I was very comfortable with it. At 4 years old, I didn't have a word for it. And I was very uncomfortable all of my life. I came from a Jewish Orthodox background. My mother was physically handicapped. I was an only child. My father died when I was 10. And damn it, I ain't coming out. And so what I did was go into the very big, comfortable, cushy, wall-to-wall carpeting closet called marriage. And what I did was have three children, which I believe I would have chosen that. I'm happy being a mother in spite of some of the circumstances today. And I stayed in that closet. And I designed a perfect life. I was professional, a teacher, subsequently administrator, and then a guidance counselor. I was very active in the community. I was the first woman on the board of trustees of my synagogue. I was hot shit. I was active in the community, very political, all over the place. I got degrees. Have a husband who stayed home and cooked and watched the kids and did laundry. He was very happy, I thought, doing that. And something was missing. And I thought I could get it from him. And every once in a while, I would beat him on the breast and say, talk to me. Talk to me about how you feel. And with all this activity and all this schooling and all this whatever life, it was a perfect life. I tell you, I had a perfect heterosexual life. I used to go into the bathroom of my bedroom, had a bedroom, and I'd look in the mirror and I said, Ruth, someday a woman is going to come into your life and fuck up this whole thing. Like I said, I put out earlier today that I would go first. I don't know why, maybe just to get it over with, but I'm really not nervous. I'm happy to be here, and whoever thought in my life that I would be standing in front of a whole group of wonderful lesbians in San Diego telling them my life story, because I'm really telling them my story so that you all come out. There is no question. You cannot but me, you can because me, you can't do anything to me, because I've been there. I have been there with the emotional pain, and I have been there with physical pain. I had a chronic illness that I got at 16, interestingly enough. Nobody could diagnose it until after I came out, and then ended up in the hospital for 21 days. Even my ex-husband came to visit me. I thought I was dying, but that was my transformation. I literally got rid of the shit. I had Crohn's symptoms of colitis. The symptoms started when I was 16. They were not identifiable until I finally started shitting my brains out. And I knew I was getting rid of the shit because psychogenically, and it's interesting because not all lesbians are spiritual, but spiritual, some of you are. Spiritually, I knew that I was first becoming my own being by getting rid of this physical shit. I got rid of all the other shit, and that was the homophobia. And it didn't matter about my job. It didn't matter about my children. It didn't matter about anybody, because in the beginning it mattered that anybody would know. And when my ex-husband, who was my husband at the time, found out, my lover is here. She was my best friend for a long, long time. We did not fool around. I didn't know anything about her. She didn't know anything about me. We were good friends. We were hot shit women in the community with our children. We babysat together. We had Thanksgiving and Passover and everything. And there was nothing until I decided at 40, when I was teaching at Brooklyn College, a course to young people at the time about health. I was a health educator, and I taught them about do your own thing. Become your being. And I said, hey, Ruth, you're going to be 40. Go for it. I didn't know what it was. And the night that I said, go for it, I get a call from another friend that says, Connie is coming in from Israel with her husband. And I didn't know it was her. I was going to go for it. And it just happened. I fell in love. It wasn't even that simple. I fell in love in a total feeling of insanity. Totally consumed by this. You couldn't say you're the intellect and that's why you're in love with. No, I loved this woman and that was it. But when I found out I was a lesbian because I loved this woman, aha, and went outside, I would say, Connie who? Who is Connie? Connie. And we had the same friends, we had the same community, and everybody knew, and my ex-husband had told everybody while he was still my husband, and I was crazy, and I went into therapy, I went through the whole scene. And it is all worth it. It is all worth it. What wasn't worth it was the time that I used up. I guess I'm supposed to be here today to tell you that. I really didn't know. You see, where I come from, and I am unique with my adolescent friends, I'm the only lesbian in the group. None of them have shown up after 40 years and said, you know, Ruth, me too. None of them. They are all straight, Jewish, middle-class women. There were 13 of us, so that doesn't fit. There should be a half of one hanging around. Have I lost them as friends? No. Have I lost anyone? No. Was it a problem with my children? And you can, I feel free enough for you to ask me any question when this presentation is over from us. I feel that free. You can ask me any question. Doesn't matter. I feel free enough to get undressed here in front of you and have a pelvic examination. I feel free enough. And how did that happen? It happened because I knew that I would be in prison if I didn't come. Although I had a lover, I was still a lesbian. If Connie is not in my life, I'm still a lesbian. She didn't make me a lesbian. So I needed to go through the process. You talk about process, there we leave out a couple of words. It's process with a purpose. I'm in my process. We learn something from therapy. I'm in my process. And we stay, and we stay, and we stay. There has to be process with a purpose. I come out every day. I make it my business that people know about me, whether it's a dirty joke that I hear, whether I talk about Connie, whether I say I'm coming to San Diego at the NOW Conference of Lesbian Task Force. I come out every day. And I have learned that most people just look and and I was terrified and fearful. And I come out every day. And I decided, because my principal's a little uncomfortable with me. Why is he uncomfortable? Because I'm a powerful woman, not because I'm a lesbian. Because I am powerful and passionate and I'm out there. And all men get scared of that. Especially those that don't know their own powers beyond their penis. When they know that, they embrace women. They embrace the goddess. They embrace lesbians. When they know their own being. And it's us that's going to have to teach the world about that. I realize. Oh, let's get back to my principal. I'm going to wear this t-shirt when I go back this weekend. I decided, what the hell? When I'm playing tennis in the afternoon, I'm a guidance counselor now. I never get dressed the way they want me to get dressed. I get dressed the way I want to get dressed. And it's different all the time. So I play tennis after school, and I wear my tennis clothes, and I carry my racket, and, you know, they look at me. So what? The kids don't care. They don't care. In New York City, in Rockaway, they have Reese Park, which was a nude beach at the time, and I said, Ruth, you got to do it. You got to feel that freedom. You know, I'm always ready to go to do it. And I went by myself to the beach one day during the summer, and I took my top off. And I said, okay, you got to go in the water now. Well, you're here not to stay in the sun, burn your tits, you're here to go in the water. So I got up and I went in the water. And it was, it was wonderful, the waves splashing around, it was fun, you know. Then I said, you got to go back out of the water. Now, going into the water is easy because you go this way. When you come out this way. And it was okay, okay enough to go another time, do the same thing, sit with my friends who didn't, straight friends happened to be, who didn't want to take off their tops. We just sat and talked. And all of a sudden, a group of teenage boys are coming over. And one looks down on my nose and said, hi, Miss Berman, how are you? And my friend said to me, oh, God, wait till you get back. I said, you know what's going to happen? I've worked with teenagers long enough. You think they give a shit about me. They're only interested in themselves and what's happening to them. He gave me the same hi, Miss Berman, in September that he gave me on that beach. And you must try it. I had no idea going on Donahue, and I could tell you my sad stories. I don't want to. You are living those who aren't out, you're living those sad stories. Why bring them up? When I went on Donahue, I had no idea that this was national television. What does national television mean? National television means that you can get a call from Hawaii from a colleague who's on vacation who happens to be at a bar in Honolulu and says, I had to call you. The time was different, 11 o'clock at night he's called. I had to call you to tell you how wonderful you are. Okay, that's national television. National television is being in Provincetown that weekend and straight people coming over as if you're a celebrity and want to talk to you and say, right on, we like what you're doing. Now, what am I doing that I'm on national television? I am participating in a class action, I don't know how classy it is, with two other gay couples who have been together for a long time. And I made application for Connie as my spouse to be on my medical and dental plan. And I have wanted to do that for 13 years. That's how long we're together as lovers. And they always said, no, Ruth, you can't do it. When I go to the payroll secretary, she said, this is ridiculous. You can't do it. So I said, all right, it's ridiculous. And when we were called by Lambda to try it, I said, hey, I can't wait to do it. And I said to her, you want to keep saying it's ridiculous? Just mail it. And of course, we got back. No, you're not married. That's all it wrote. No, you're not married. And I have every intention of following this through thoroughly because, hey, what does that mean, being married? I've been there. We know what that means. And what I also need to share with you, it's my signal, is that you come out every day and remember, bring this into your consciousness about that you, all of you in this room, were brought up as heterosexual women. You came out of that uterus and they put pink on you and everything else on you they could to make you turn out like half a person, because heterosexual women are only half a person. How many of you even use this statement that where's your better half? Well, heterosexual women are brought up to believe that they are not whole until they get married. And you were brought up that way too. and bring that to your therapist, that you want to undo the damage they did by bringing you up as a heterosexual woman. And then you'll see how easy it's going to come out, because you will shed all the stuff that keeps you from coming out and thoroughly enjoying your lesbianism, whether you're with somebody or not with somebody. And not only that, you're not only doing it for yourselves, you're doing it for humanity. You're doing it for peace on earth. You have been chosen for that responsibility. And I need you to come out, because I am willing to open up my mouth, but not march alone. I need you behind me. Thank you.
Honey?
Hi, I'm Connie, and I'm a dyke, and I'm an adult child of adult children called my parents. This is not the Shore Parkway Jewish Center? This is not the sisterhood?
No. Oh, well, you could raise money if you want. They're ready, Connie. I've got them ready for you.
Thanks for inviting me, and Ruthie, for acknowledging that maybe we have something to say to you by virtue of the work that we have done on ourselves. Ruthie and I are friends of 30 years. I was married to Bernie for 18 years, and I have two children. And what's wonderful to say right now is I also have a sister who is here with me right now. I'm a grandmother. And my daughter-in-law is expecting a second child in about 6 more weeks. Her husband, my son, Moshe, is Hasidic, very religious. The word is extremely religious. And on the Donahue Show, and many times over, people will say to me or ask me, how does Moshe deal with you? And my reply for the past 13 years has been, how the hell do I deal with Moshe? Ironically enough, probably Moshe understood better than most what I was going through. For in his experience, he has been put down for being his differences. He's been made fun of, and the laugh of, and the jokes of. And when Moshe and I speak and share, we share with that acceptance and understanding. My daughter Eileen is married. My both kids live in Israel. When Eileen got married, she chose to get married in New York, and she returned with her future husband, and we had the wedding very close to home. Now, the epitome of acceptance from our children, from my children, has been that both my children now ask Ruthie and I for money. My daughter Eileen would be proud to be here at this feminist lesbian conference, for she maintained her maiden name. Every time she would call me when she was single, the operator would say, "Eileen, collect." She still is. "Eileen, collect." I have very nice children. Why? Because I said so. I mean, they had no problems with this issue of mama being a lesbian? Yes, they had problems. My daughter's problem was that the day she turned around and accused me of being an abusive mother to her was the problem she lived with for at least 22 years. And I had to look her in the face and say, "Thank God, we both can identify me now." She went into therapy. I had already been into therapy around the issue of hitting her too many times. That was her problem. When I came out as a lesbian and I was totally free in doing that, was when I realized where my anger was, my hostility was, my frustration was, and the fact that I also was an abused child. Does that justify me perpetuating that kind of behavior? Damn no. But I'm most grateful. I was able to do the kind of homework I needed to do to not continue that kind of pattern behavior. Eileen had that as a problem, not who I loved and wanted to spend my life with. Moshe and I, we talk about our religion. I from the gay synagogue, Moshe from Jerusalem. Same thing, no different. I was totally free when I came out. I did a few free things in my lifetime. 13 years ago, I took off my brassiere and I never put it on again. 13 years ago, I acknowledged that I was a lesbian. I haven't stopped acknowledging it. I work with Ani Feldman, who is my ex-husband's oldest and dearest friend. He's my, in quotes, boss. He knows more than many what I went through then and what I go through now in order to leave work to come to a conference like this. And he said, "Go. Do what you have to do. And my job is secure." Well, Connie, of course your job is secure. You're a bookkeeper. What's the big deal? What investment have you made in time and energy and money and struggle? I mean, are you a professional? So what are you carrying on? I will tell you, all professionals stay in the closet. I want all the bookkeepers to come out. I'll march with all of you. All the bookkeepers will paralyze this whole country. I'm also tongue-in-cheeking the whole thing because I'm really saying professionals, whatever that means. Bookkeepers, whoever you are, come, let's march together. Let's do the kind of homework of feeling good enough about ourselves so I don't have to wait for the thems. Problem has become the thems is me. It's the enemy within me that's getting in my way. I'm getting in my own way. my own thoughts, my own feelings, my own behavior is getting in my way. Whether it be the issue of being a lesbian, coming to terms with excessive hitting, those are the things I work that I'm on day by day, facing up to it, celebrating the changes that are taking place within myself. I celebrated my 50th birthday 2 years ago. Ruthie celebrated hers 4 years ago. We celebrated it. We had friends from everywhere who came to celebrate it with us. The friends of high school, families, the straights, the gays, lesbians, it didn't matter. It was one commonality. We were willing to celebrate an occasion. I have no idea, biological, it's not an emotional issue anymore. What I do know is that I have never been happier than the choice that I have made to be a lesbian and to be with Ruth today, as I have been for 13 years. I have never been happier. I have never, never been healthier. As a young person, I had rheumatic fever. And as the years, as I grew up, I would have periodical attacks of rheumatic fever. I don't have attacks of rheumatic fever anymore. I used to have colds that when I got a cold, I was ill. It was an illness for me. My colds now, if I should get them, last maybe an hour and 22 minutes because I'm busy. I have no time for this shit. But that's the MS. That's the truth. Well, what does that have to do with coming out? What are you snowing these people for? The physical and the emotional and the spiritual are one. They have a connection. They have a connection. And this bookkeeper tells you they have a connection. What has happened to me in the past 13 years with finding out 6 years ago that I had cancer? What the hell am I going to do with cancer now? So I put my energy and my time into recognizing, why would I get cancer? 7 years I was out, never been healthier, never been freer. Now you're going to get cancer? So we worked on it. We, Ruthie, I, therapist, I was supposed to be operated on, told the doctor, I'm not going for any operation. Forget it. Went to a psychic healer, worked with a reflexologist, worked with a chiropractor. I did it another way. I gave myself an opportunity to do it another way. And we realized, come, let's talk to the mass and say, listen, mass, I appreciate the fact that you must have been here for a reason. You kept all the secrets. Now, I don't need you anymore. So I appreciate what you did for me, but will you do me a favor? It's time to leave. And I worked on it with imagery, visualization, meditation. I asked women to come together and do a healing circle. In the house, away from the house. It is 6 years later. I haven't got cancer. I didn't have cancer 2 months after I was told I had cancer. You think there's a connection? Do I make sense to somebody that, well, Connie, you waited 40 years, you waited 52 years to make the change. I got plenty of time. I'll wait 52 years also. Can I stop you from waiting as long as you want? You can even die with the secret. What could I do about it? Why would you want to do it? What investment did I, do you, have in staying in the closet? What benefits do you get from it?
Well, you don't have to take a chance of somebody rejecting you. Not a question. I have no guarantees that Mama won't reject you. Absolutely none whatsoever. My mazel, my luck. I went to Israel in 1970 with Bernie and my two children. For 4 years, my mother and father did not speak to me. No cards, no hello, no phone calls, no dollar in the envelope for the kid's birthday. 4 years. Because they responded to the fact that I took their grandchildren to Israel. I came back from Israel. I'm a lesbian. Crazy about me. Crazy about me. Never saw Connie happier. No, you figure it out. You go get guarantees. You go by past experience and say, I know my mother won't, will, what. I have nothing to tell you. I have nothing. I mean, the stories, they make no sense. Illogical logic. Why this no good and this is good? Ruthie's experience, her own background of Mama. Supportive, loving, wonderful. 7 years we waited for Ruthie's mother to say, will you please forgive me for how I treated the two of you all these years? What a waste of time. What a waste of time on her part, on our part. Ruthie's mother has since passed away. And I will tell you, she's praying that I stay down here a long time. Because when I get to her, I'm going to give her such what for taking so long to come to terms with the fact that we are another and we are okay. And we're good people, loving people. And that's been our work for the past 6 years. The answer is loving. That's what Ruthie and I have made a commitment and a dedication to. Our home is opened in Brooklyn. We have traveled to do this kind of work in the name of the answer is loving. I thank you so much. Hi. I lived for 32 years trying to be what everybody else wanted me to be. And I became a workaholic because I gave up ever trying to be happy. And I couldn't understand what I was missing. And then Sharon Kowalski came into my life. And Sharon taught me how to live. Sharon taught me how to laugh. She taught me how to play. She taught me how to take walks in the woods and listen to the birds sing. Look at wildflowers and be able to see them individually. Through Sharon's eyes, I saw a whole different world around me. Sharon Kowalski and I lived together in a committed, loving relationship for 4 years before her accident, which occurred in November of 1983. And during that period of time, we certainly grew together, but we never once looked at each other until a week before the accident and said that we were gay. We only admitted that we had fallen in love with a human being who, for whatever characteristics, whatever qualities, you know, if they'd been in a man, we would have fallen in love with a man, right? We didn't want to deal with our sexuality. We didn't want to deal with the fact that we might be like them, whoever them happened to be, because somehow we just weren't like that. We didn't play who were the men or who were the women, you know, and these kinds of things. We were just two normal, everyday human beings who happened to fall in love. 1 week before the accident, Sharon looked at me and said, Karen, I'm gay. When are you going to deal with your sexuality? And I still didn't want to deal with it. I still couldn't look at Sharon and say it. I still couldn't say it to myself. I didn't even know at that time that many women preferred being called lesbians. And then Sharon was in a car accident. And you're forced to come to grips with what's really important to you. And as I watched time pass, as I watched her parents plan to move her out of our hometown area, closer to their home for their convenience, as I watched them talk about keeping her in a nursing home and those kinds of things, and I realized that things were slipping away from us, and that in order to try to keep Sharon where Sharon would want to be, and in order for us to spend time together, in order for us to eventually be able to bring Sharon home and for Sharon to live the kind of life that Sharon's capable of living, I was going to have to come out. We were going to have to get the support of the Minnesota Civil Liberties Union. We were going to have to get the support of disability rights groups. We were going to have to get the support of other people. I was going to have to come to grips with things. My first step that I took in that direction was to go talk with a minister.